I know, though, that they are writing, for I can sense an influence that comes only when these spirits are present. I know this because sometimes they show themselves to me, and then I see that they are beautiful and bright spirits. And when they are so present, I always sense the influence that I speak of. And besides, your wife sometimes comes to me and tells me that such spirits are present. I have learned many truths since your wife has been trying to instruct me, and I am praying and seeking for the love which she tells me of, but it seems so difficult to get it. I don't know just why, but I shall continue to strive for it, for your wife tells me that it will come to me when I get in proper condition to receive it. I am happier than I have been, and my hope is increasing, and my faith also, and I am determined not to cease praying and striving until I receive the freedom from my condition that I am informed is just a little ahead of me. Well, I thank you, and I will try to follow your advice and help these other spirits whenever I can. L_ is still in much darkness. He does not seem to desire to get out of his condition, and still associates with spirits like himself, and visits these low places of earth in the belief that he is getting some pleasure in his imaginary drinking. I have not seen L_ lately, but suppose he is still in the condition that he was in when I last saw him. I know that he needs help, and while I do not feel that I can help him much yet, I will try. Yes, I am interested in all my folks on earth, as well as those in the spirit world, and I sometimes visit my old home and try to make them feel better. 471. But I can make but little impression on them, and I see that it will be a difficult undertaking to cause them to think of anything pertaining to this life other than what their beliefs cause them to think. They are Catholics with all their hearts and minds, and would not doubt what their priests say to them for anything in all the world. But I shall be with them, and when they come over will meet them. I have seen some of my folks here who are in darkness and still believe in the doctrines of their church, waiting to get out of purgatory. I have never spoken to them upon spiritual matters, for I have never felt qualified to do so, but as soon as I progress a little, I will try to enlighten them. Well, I find that she is not anything to me more than a friend. I have no special affection for her, but will try to help her if I can. I must stop. Remember me in your prayers, and believe that I am your friend, Edwin Forrest. December 8, 1916. I am here, St. John, Apostle of Jesus. Writings were made for the purpose of encouraging the people of those days to believe that God would intervene in their behalf, and save them from their sufferings and persecutions, and in the one case establish a Messiah's kingdom on earth that would cause the Jews to become the ruling nation of the universe, and in the other, to establish a kingdom in heaven where the Christians would find rest and happiness in becoming inhabitants of that kingdom, and children of the Father, and participants in the glories of Christ's reign as king and priest. Well, as the subject of the sermon was that kingdom or heaven and the preacher endeavored to tell his people what that heaven is, I will consider that subject. In the first place, as I have said, that heaven is not one universal place where all the Christians, irrespective of their soul development, go, but in that heaven are many heavens or spheres in which the spirit of mortals will find homes and also happiness according to their soul development or their spiritual development. And in order that there may be no misunderstanding, I must say that the soul development comes only through and by the operation of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual development involves only the result of the correct workings of the moral faculties of a man and the purification of his natural love which, of course, the Paget Messages 1916, comprehends the development of his soul, so far as the same may be developed by this purifying process. The results of each operation is very different, and lead to a perfection and relationship to the Father, which is in harmony with the laws controlling the respective heavens, for the place of final habitation of each may be called heaven. But my object tonight is to describe to you the appearance and condition of one of these heavens, and as mortals have heard more about the third heaven, which we in our information to you have called the third sphere, than of any of the other heavens, I will confine my description to that place. Well, it is occupied by the spirits of mortals who have received considerable of the divine love, as well as by those who have progressed to a great extent in the purification of their natural love and the expansion of their minds and intellects, though the latter do not remain very long in this heaven, but progress to the fourth, where there are more opportunities and are more instructions in those things which have to do with the mind's advancement. While those who have made progress in the soul development and those in the intellectual are all in the third heavens, yet they occupy different and distinct planes in that heaven, for those things that attract the one class do not attract the other, and there is very little intermingling of these spirits except that those who know that the divine love is real sometimes attempt to show those who do not the desirability of obtaining it and the happiness that it brings to spirits. As we have already told you, the condition of the soul, not of the mind, to a large degree makes the heaven of the spirit, and in the providence of the Father, He has made the surroundings and the appearances of the environment suitable to the condition of the soul and fitted to increase the happiness of those spirits who may, because of their soul progress, be attracted to the particular places in which they find themselves, their homes. The appearance of this heaven to those who have this divine love in their souls is far excelling the capacity of your mortal languages to explain, even if I had the ability to describe the same. But in one general statement I may say that for these spirits there is everything to make them happy to the extent of their capacity to receive and enjoy. There are trees and flowers, and hills and dales, and rivers and lakes, and beautiful landscapes, and above all the wonderful atmosphere, as I may express it, that is created by this wonderful love of the Father, and a glorious light that illuminates and 472 gives life to all who live in it, which comes from this love of the Father. It is the sun, moon and stars, and sunrise and sunset, and summer clouds, and evening shadows and morning glories. Your material sun and moon and stars do not appear in this heaven, for the effulgence of the light from the Father's love eclipses and illuminates the light of these material creations of the mortal world. And then there are homes of the grandest splendor and beauty suited to the conditions of the various spirits, which have in them everything that will tend to cause happiness and joy to their occupants and visiting friends. Musical instruments and books, and paintings and furniture of every kind fitted to bring to the spirits contentment and joy, and a realization of peace and rest from the cares that you mortals have with you all through your earth life. And above and more important than all, a wonderful atmosphere of love which makes all these spirits realize that they are the children of the Father and brothers of one another and lovers of all humanity. And in addition, the social life is beyond all conception. The spirits have their times of visiting as well as those of staying in their homes, and many pleasures as well as of work and helping spirits and mortals, of singing and music and laughter as of prayer and contemplation of deep spiritual truths. Yes, in the lighter social pleasures as well as in the solitary meditations and aspirations of the soul's progress, there is happiness and enjoyment and freedom from those things which defile or make inharmonious the thoughts and heart's desire of these spirits. All is gladness, and there are none who have solemn downcast countenances that many of earth imagine portrays the truly righteous and redeemed of mortals. No, love knows no sadness, and as the soul speaks its condition by the appearance of the spirit body's countenance, the soul being so full of gladness and joy, the countenance can express only those emotions of the soul. This is the result of the law which declares nothing can be hidden, and every spirit must show forth the truth of its condition. There are no walled cities or streets of gold or pearly gates or other of the material things which the book ascribes to me sets forth, so that man can get some conception of what heaven is. These things in heaven would not be gold or pearls or diamonds or jasper, for when they are compared to the real beauties of the things which it contains, they are as the faint light of the candle compared to the light of your noonday sun. The Paget Messages 1916, truly the mind of man cannot conceive of the glories that await the lovelit soul when it comes to its heavenly home. There is another misconception that the preacher had, following the teachings of Revelation, and that is that the kingdom of heaven is a walled city, the New Jerusalem, in which all the spirits of the redeemed live, singing their loud hosannas to God. There are cities of which your earth cities may be called correspondences, but there are also villages and hamlets and homes in the country, as you would say, surrounded by green fields and shady vales through which run rivers and streams of silvery hue and clear as crystal, and also placid lakes which afford the pleasures of boating and sailing and other amusements. For each spirit is provided the place that is most attractive to him, and it is optional with him where his home shall be. But all love and worship the Father, and endeavor to make their neighbors happy and help the development of the soul towards a progression to the heavens which are higher yet. All spirits are controlled by law, but that law is the law of love, and that love is the love divine, the essence of the Father's divinity. I have written enough for tonight, and I hope from what I have said that you may catch some faint conception of what the glories of this third heaven is for those who have found, to some extent, this love and possess it, and then, when as you must know there are many heavens above this, each successively possessing increased glories and happiness, and beauties of place as well as beauty of spirit, you may imagine what the Master meant when he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." I know that my attempted description may be unsatisfactory to some mortals, but it is the best that I can do, because mortal words cannot convey and mortal thoughts cannot conceive the realities, and man in his imaginings may better get a spiritual view of these things. I will not write more tonight. I am with you quite often, throwing around you the influence of my love, and endeavoring to help and encourage you. Let your faith in us and in our communications increase, and believe above all that the Master wrote you the prayer which you received a few nights ago. Study it deeply and grasp its spiritual meaning, and let your longings and aspirations go out to the Father as suggested by the prayer, and you will find a wonderful and satisfactory response to them. We are praying for you and your friends, and you must believe that the love is coming into your souls. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. December 12, 1916. I am here, Jesus. Let me write a while tonight, as I desire very much to again come into communication with you in reference to the truths of God that are so important for men to know. Tonight I desire to write for a short time on the subject of what men should do in order to become again the perfect men as was the condition of the first parents before their fall. I know that many doctrines and beliefs have prevailed in the world of human experience as to what is necessary to bring about a return to the original condition of the created soul of men before the fall, and that many of these beliefs have been preached and efforts made to live the life that will produce this happy state, but in all this experience and belief men have rarely attained to the perfection that they sought for, notwithstanding the fact that they have been taught that as their Father in heaven is perfect, they should become perfect. No, this goal has always eluded men while living on earth, and for a long while to come and until man's ideas of his own created condition changes, man will not succeed in reaching the condition of perfection. While the created soul of man is pure and perfect, and man must realize that fact, yet because of the long ages of living in and nurturing sin and its resultants, man has covered over that pure soul with such a deep and fallacious covering that they have never yet been able to get a correct idea of what that soul really is. As it appears to them in all its frailties and ugliness as it really is, and in addition to this, so long has man been accustomed to see that soul as it appears in its false covering that he has concluded and had no other thought than that it is really what it appears to him to be. But never was a greater mistake made, and never has man been so little successful in discovering the truth of things as in this matter of the true condition of the hidden soul, waiting only to be relieved of its covering in order to shine out again in all its purity and truth. So you see, the first thing for men to do is to realize the true condition of their own souls, and then make the effort to rescue such souls from this false and unnatural condition, and let it appear again clean and pure and beautiful. 473, The Paget Messages, 1916. Many teachers have appeared in the world and endeavored to lead men to this discovery, and also attempted to show them the way by which this original condition could be recovered or brought about, and success more or less has accompanied their endeavors, but the trouble has been that with these teachings have been mixed things of such irrational character that have had a retarding and baneful effect upon such teachings, and as a consequence men have lost the principles of the true teachings and found themselves enthralled in the scheme of public benefits that men so forcibly presented to those who followed these doctrines instead of the true teachings. It seems so strange that these beliefs and practices should be given over to so much importance to acts and beliefs of men, and that the one true principle that lies at the basis of all efforts to regain the purity of the soul, as it originally existed, should be neglected. Well, the rapport is weakening, and I will write later. So, good night and God bless you. I see that you are in better condition than for a long time, and I am glad. I will come soon again. Good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I am so glad that the Master could write again tonight, for it tells one that you will be able to receive his messages right along, and very satisfactorily. Your own true and loving Helen. December 13, 1916. I am here, Caesar. Well, I merely want to say that since I last wrote you I have followed your advice and have listened to the advice of the high spirits to whom you sent me, and I have been praying as they instructed me, and now I am in a much better condition than I was, and the view that I now have of life in the spirit world is very different. I am still in some darkness, but light is breaking into my soul and consciousness, and I am commencing to realize that my fate as I have for so many years conceived it to be is not fate at all, and that my conception of what my fixed state was is all wrong, and was the child, if I may so call it, of my condition of mind and beliefs that came to me when I came to the spirit world and realized that the fact of my having been what the world called a great man on earth did not fit me for any greatness in the spirit world. I was then so disappointed in 474, shocked by finding myself a naked spirit of qualities that brought me into darkness and suffering that I tried to avoid the association of all other spirits, and nursed my disappointment in isolation and the belief that for me there could be no change in my condition, or possible progress out of the awful lonesomeness and weariness of my soul. And now, when I know how different the truth is, I feel that all these long years of my spirit life have been wasted, and I bewail the fate that held me so long in that condition of stagnation and pride and resentment and utter hopelessness. I'm now so thankful that I came to you when I did and told you of my condition, and when I realized that my coming to you was more a matter of curiosity to be satisfied, that I could communicate with the mortal world than because of any hope of receiving any help or benefit that could possible come to me, I thank my curiosity. When you told me the things that you did, I thought that you were an idle dreamer, and the recipient of some of the harmless vices that existed among the men of my earthly days who used to declaim upon the glories of the spirit world. I had no faith in them, and I had none in you, and it was only when I realized that you were so earnest in what you were declaring to me, and when I came in contact with the higher spirits that you called to my assistance and saw that they had in them something that I had not, and which I had never seen in any other spirit, did I commence to think that what you had told me might have some foundation of truth. And I also thought that I could not make my condition any worse by listening to these spirits and learn what they had to tell me as to what they declared was the truth of spirit progress, and the more I listened the more interested I became. After a while I was convinced that there might be some truth in what they so earnestly asserted to be true, and as an experiment I concluded to follow their advice and seek for this wonderful love that they told me would not only relieve me from my darkness and suffering but would make a new spirit of me in body and soul. And oh, the wonderful surprise and experience that came to me, for I am no longer the gloomy, despondent and isolated emperor, but a mere spirit who recognizes that death is the great leveler, and that rank and position and greatness of earth do not in one iota determine the status of the spirit for position of exaltation. I am now in my consciousness a plain spirit, having those qualities only which the condition of my soul gives me, and, the Paget Messages 1916, realize that I must pursue the same course and suffer the same suffering, as must other spirits in the same condition of soul, be they princes or peasants. Well, as I said, I am so thankful that this knowledge has come to me, for now I am rid of pride and ideas of superiority and all those things that had caused me to believe that the Almighty had treated me unjustly in not recognizing my earthly qualities and giving me a position which, as I believed, my greatness entitled me to. I resented all this and in my resentment, I became a spirit who fed on my imaginary injuries and thoughts that I would be sufficient unto myself, and not seek the favor of such a god. So you see what can be the effect of arrogance and pride and a self-glorious estimate of one small mind upon the possibility of a spirit's happiness and progress. But now these things have left me and I realize that I am a nothing, except that I am a child of God and the object of His love, as your spirit friends have told me and are telling me. And in my humility, and I am humble, for I want to tell you that my fall was great and the consciousness of my littleness extreme, I know that I need the help of the Father in order to become in the least degree a spirit of light. And I am praying and longing and seeking, oh so earnestly, for this love. Caesar the once mighty is now Caesar the most humble and weak, but the most hopeful. I realize the greatness of God's mercy and the great possibility of its making me one of these glorious angels that came to you so often with their messages of truth and salvation to mankind. I was considered on earth a man of brilliant mind and wonderful intellect, and what of this I still possess, and now that the way has been shown me, I am exercising these qualities to the best of my ability to help me in my search for truth and light. I thought that I would write this tonight, for I know that you are interested in my advancement, and besides, it does me much good to tell you. I am praying and longing, and these spirits are praying with me. But as yet, I have not very much of this love in my soul, but enough to know, I say no, that it is real and that it makes the heart, unbelieving soul open up to the inflowing in greater abundance of its divine essence. The Father is good, and I am trusting Him, and with all the possibilities of my soul I am longing for its filling with this love and the getting rid of all these century-old doubts and hardness of heart and unbeliefs. I know the way and now I will never relapse into the state of mind that was mine for so many centuries. And I can say that Caesar has seen the beacon light of hope and the great sun of knowledge that these things which the loving spirits tell me are true. I must stop now, but as I progress I should like to come to you and describe my progress. I will say good night, and subscribe myself, your friend and well-wisher, Julius Caesar. I am here, Elias, prophet of old. I desire tonight to write a few lines upon a matter that I have been thinking might be of some interest to you, and that is, the hope that all mortals have in a future destiny of freedom from care and unhappiness. I know that a large majority of mortals who believe in the Christian doctrines, believe that for a very considerable number of mankind there is awaiting an eternity in the hells of continuous torture and torment, and that in order to avoid such a destiny or future state, men, while on earth, must believe in certain doctrines and conform themselves to such beliefs, for after death there can be no possible opportunity for being saved from such a fate. Of course, these beliefs are the results of the teachings of those who claim to have the ability to interpret the Bible, mixed with a little of divine inspiration and mysterious power and wisdom that are conferred upon those who have the careers of ministers of the gospel. And men, because of long years of training or of inheritance from those who for long years believed in these teachings, naturally exercise very little independent thought and accept the declarations of these ministers as being almost the divine expressions of God Himself. Such doctrines have caused in their workings much harm to the mortal and much unhappiness to the spirits of men in the spirit world, because beliefs accompany the latter in their existence as spirits and keep them from learning the truth for a long time after they become spirits. It is a great pity that men can be bound by such false and damnable beliefs, and generation after generation continue to become servants to the teachings of misguided instructors. And I wish to say that all these beliefs are untrue and have no foundation in fact. And the sooner mankind knows this the better it will be for their happiness on earth and their welfare in the world to come. It is true that there are hells and punishment, and that the majority of men when they become 475, the Paget Messages 1916, spirits will have to go into such hells and suffer such punishment, but the element of eternal or everlasting does not enter into the duration of such state or condition. For there is no punishment inflicted on the spirits of men for the purpose of causing them to pay a penalty that can never be satisfied through all eternity. This punishment is only for the purpose of purification, and when it is accomplished, for the particular spirit who has suffered the same, the hell ceases to exist and the punishment ceases to have any necessity for its existence, and, ultimately, The condition of every man will be that of a purified spirit, free from sin and defilement and the necessity for hell or punishment. I know that what I have written has in various forms been written before, but I felt that I must say just this much and in the way that I have done. I am glad that you are feeling better tonight, and I want to assure you that, if you will pray to the Father, you will continue to grow in your spiritual development, and as a consequence feel better in every particular. With my love I will say, good night. Your brother in Christ, Elias. I am here, Samuel. No, I have not written for a long time, although I have been with you quite often and seen the other spirits write, and heard the conversation of yourself and friends on many occasions as you discussed the truth of things spiritual, and commented on the messages that you received on the sermons of the preachers who attempted to explain what they called the Bible truths. Tonight I desire to say a few words on the subject, what causes the souls of men the unrest that now exists in the mortal world. This is a subject, I know, that of late has been widely discussed, and many causes given and tried to be explained as the basis for such conditions of men, individually, and as comprising nations. I realize that it is a large and comprehensive question. And to discuss it in all its features would require much more time than we have to devote to it tonight, and hence I will call attention to only a few of these causes. In the first place, man is so created, or rather he has brought himself into such a condition, that self-love or selfishness, and I mean the purely human selfishness and not that of the higher and proper kind, has become the mainspring or active principle of all his motives for doing or not doing a thing or things, and in so acting the rights of others 476, are considered only in a secondary or subordinate sense. If the recognition of these rights does not involve any sacrifice of what he considers is for his own advantage, then these rights may be recognized and admitted and permitted to be carried into actual enjoyment. But if there be any conflict between his conception of what he is entitled to and the actual rights of his brother or friend or stranger, he will see only the justice of his own rights and his consequent action will be based on that conception. And having this motive of selfishness predominant and controlling in his actions, it seldom occurs that the rights of these others are fairly recognized, and consequently, there arises injustice and harm, and the desire of conferring those things which would naturally arise from the conception of the rights of these brothers is ignored. Your brother in Christ, Samuel. I am here, Mary. Let me write just a line and I will feel better, for I am so anxious to tell the doctor that he is such a dear boy, and needs me more than he thinks. Of course this is in a kind of humorous vein, but still humor sometimes contains much truth. Helen says that I might write a short letter, and I knows that when she says so you will have to submit, but I know that you want to favor me anyhow. I understand from what he has said to you that he has no recollection of his experience 19, and I am very sorry for if he could only recall just a little of what he saw and felt when he was with me he would never doubt for a moment that I am his true soulmate, and that his heaven is all that he has had described him. It was a very happy night for me and for him too, if I may judge from what he said. He did not want to return and said, that there was no special reason for his returning and that he was so happy with me that he felt justified in requesting that he the day following the information received from Mr. Paget that his Helen and my soulmate Mary were going to try and take me out of the body as they had written about 3 weeks before. I felt a wonderful influence of love that seemed to take possession of my whole being, and it lasted for 3 days and they made me feel so happy. Mr. Paget had a similar experience after going to the spirit world in the third sphere a few months previous to my experience, and said that he felt much love present in his soul after the event. Leslie R. Stone. 19, The Paget Messages 1916, may be permitted to stay with me. But I reminded him that could not be as he had been chosen to do a work among mortals, and that until that was finished he could not come to the spirit and remain, but I promised that he should come again as a visitor, and that his happiness would be just as great as he was then experiencing and that possibly he might at some time be able to recall some of the experiences of his visit. Well, I had him with me and we were in the third sphere, where everything was so suited to our love feast, and we were happy, I must tell you. He met his father and mother and sisters, and some other spirits who were interested in him, and they were also happy to have him with them. Especially was his mother very happy, for she took him in her arms and kissed him and cried for very joy. They stayed with us for a little while, but soon saw that we were anxious to be alone, and they left with their blessings. But Helen said that she did not intend to leave, for fear that I should get in such a condition that I would forget that he was still a mortal, and do something that might prevent his return to his body.